Us. While you're turning, I just ask God's blessing on His word this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, your love and your mercy. We thank you have given us another day, Father God, where another Sunday where we can gather together to praise you, to worship you, to fellowship with you and one another, Father God. We pray for all those that are on vacation today, the frequent New Covenant, Father, that you be with them. Touch them if they have a physical need, Father. For those that have traveled, Father God, or some even this afternoon leaving here be traveling, we ask you to grant them traveling mercies, Father God, as they go away for the holiday. Be with them, protect them, Father God. Bring them back again into our fellowship for next Sunday if we tarry that long, Father God. We pray, Father, as we look into your word, that you would anoint it. Because, Father, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke and nothing else, Father God. Father, give us a teachable heart and spirit this morning, Father. And devil, I take authority over you in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. I come against you trying to put a sickness on me this morning in Jesus' name. We rebuke you. You got no business in God's house this morning. You got no business touching God's property. And Father, we thank you that above all things you are faithful. And God, just use this vessel this morning, Father. Anoint these lips which in themselves can do nothing. And Father, we will give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. Amen. How many know the devil's mad? Yes, amen. He certainly is. Well, he's not going to have his way. Amen. I want to talk about something I have not spoken about, and I don't know when, but something that is much needed in all of our lives. I want to talk about grace, not sister grace, but grace. John, the first chapter, I read out of the Amplified Version. This will be a teaching, it won't be a preaching. John, the first chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled. Fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us. And we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty. Such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. John testified about him and cried out, This is he of whom I said, He that comes after me has priority over me, for he was before me. He takes rank above me, for he existed before I did. He has advanced before me because he is my chief. For out of his fullness, abundance, we all received. All had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. For while the law was given through Moses, grace, unearned, undeserved favor and spiritual blessing and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus, John writes, telling of Jesus right there in the first chapter, that when Jesus came, he was full of grace and truth. Amen? Full of grace. Grace, the unmerited favor of God, which was freely shed to you and to me. And we know that from the third chapter of John, especially, for God so loved his creation, amen, that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen? Put your word in here for creation or world. That God so loved you that Jesus came for you personally. He came for me personally. Grace for grace, grace upon grace, full grace according to needs and wants. That's what Jesus has. That is what he is. He is full of grace. That when you and I have a need, we have a want even, we have something in our life, that we can go to him because he is grace. Amen? He is full of grace. How many recognize God's grace in their life? Amen. I think if we all look back at things we may have done prior to our acceptance of Christ, not only do we realize the grace that God gave into our life to forgive us of the things that we did to one another, not necessarily here, but to our fellow human beings, to perhaps even parents, to children perhaps, to whoever. That God freely gave his grace into your life and into my life and forgot those things. Isn't that great? I think also as we look back, some of the things we did aside from the fact that they were sin, but perhaps the way we acted, some of us were real characters, others were rascals, amen? Others were out and out people that you did not want to associate with, because you would be better off. We were some real sinners. But God freely gave His grace to each and every one of us. And as we accepted Him and recognized that He was the Messiah, that He was the Christ, and that we had a problem in our own life called sin, and we recognized that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit into our life, and we asked Christ to come in, that He forgave us of all the things that we had done. Amen? Hello? Anybody here forgiven besides the pastors? Good. Good. We should be shouting for joy constantly, figuratively speaking, recognizing and realizing the grace that has been shed into our life because we were all headed for doom. Amen? But also, aside from the sin, looking back, there's another area of grace that we talk about upon occasion. That being, as we look back, perhaps at situations where we shouldn't be here today, that our lives should have been snuffed out, either by our own actions or by some pursuit that we had. And we look back and we recognize at the time we didn't, but that it was the hand of God, because He's gracious and He's merciful, that prevented tragedy from happening. Amen? Amen. And we realize today that that was God, that He was there. I remember a few years back, being a teenager in my early 20s, that's only a few years ago, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, amen? So it's not too long ago in God's timetable, amen, of when I had the hot rod and used to drag race on the streets. And I remember two times in particular, but one with this vehicle, that was back in my home city, and they had just built a shopping center, which was occupied by McDonald's, and a department store used to be called King's. They were a national chain. Some of you, I know, remember that. Some of you obviously wouldn't, because they've been gone for some period of time. But anyway, you know, it was like a highway and that, and this car was capable of 110 in second gear. And it was a four-speed. And Mike was his name that I was rooming with at the time. We shared an apartment. He was a GI, and I was now out of the service. And he had loaned his car, which was a convertible, to two girls. And we were sitting at the light this way, and they came down this way and went off across this new road. And Mike says, "There's the girls. Let's get them." I say, "Hey, you know, I got a red light. You can wait for the red light." And it's a 25-mile-an-hour zone. And I remember, it was a long red light. And so when it turned green, I, you know, as they say, put the pedal to the metal. And there was a slight curve in the road where the gas station where I got my gas and so forth was. And this car had 2 4-barrel carburetors. If you know anything about cars, a 3/4 racing cam, 20,000ths oversized valves. And I ran at 8 barrels off the line instead of progressive linkage, but I had the full power immediately. And so I roared out of that light. And at this time, I did not believe in God or anything else except having what I thought was a good time and doing my thing. And I had put it into second gear, and I was over 100 miles an hour in this 25-mile-an-hour zone. Girls were still nowhere in sight. You do some crazy things when you're without Christ and when you're without God. And I remember a car coming out of McDonald's heading in my direction. So, and you have to understand, this only takes a couple seconds in time, but it takes longer to explain. And I pulled out into the other lane to go around, and he was way down the road, but when you're going 110 miles an hour, you cover distance rather quickly. And as I pulled out into the other lane, A woman in a station wagon with five children came out of McDonald's heading in my direction, and I'm now in her lane. And we really thought we had had it. This gentleman had an old black 1960 Dodge. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I'm in his lane, come back into my own lane, because I said, well, I'm not going to hit this woman. Mark, you leave on the road. And this elderly gentleman that was in the car that I was now coming like a rocket upon just froze at the wheel. I can still see him today. He just froze. He could not do anything. And I assume he heard the brake, you know, tires squealing and so forth as you apply the brakes. And, you know, it continues for a period of time. And he looked up and I could still see his eyes today. Mike, he got down on the floor. And he just covered his head, and he said, God, we're dead, we're dead, we're dead. And we really thought we were. And we stopped. You couldn't put a piece of paper between the bumpers. And I know today that was God. That was God. So God sheds abundant grace into our lives. Amen? In many different ways. That's only an example of one way he has in my life. He has in many, many other ways and at times in each and every one of our lives. And I believe we need to open our eyes and see God's grace in our life. To see his grace in what he does for us each and every day, what he has done for us already. We tend to concentrate perhaps or focus upon a problem that we have. Now, how many are going through a problem today? Some are more difficult naturally than others. I don't want to know what your problem is. If you want to share it so that I can pray, that's fine. That's your business. But we need to recognize that in spite of the problem, since we belong to God, His grace is sufficient. Aside from His grace being sufficient, I know, according to His Word, and God says above all things He is faithful, He also says that he is not a man that he should lie. Amen? God's word says that because I love God, and because you love God, and you are serving him, and I am serving him, that no matter what the situation is that you're going through or that I'm going through, even though it's a tough situation, might even involve heartache, some despondency or anything like that, that it must work for good. That is God's word. That it will work for good. And sometimes there are those situations that we just don't understand how, God, can this work for good. But God knows the beginning from the end, and we don't. So we need to concentrate on God's goodness. We need to recognize that no matter what we're going through, God's grace is sufficient. What you're going through and what I'm going through, God will use for good also. That some things that have happened to us in the past, some things perhaps in our childhood that we went through, perhaps some things that were done to us in our childhood, God will use that you might help somebody else. Because you can reach people that I can't, and I can reach people that you can't, because of what each and every one of us has been through. But God, Christ, Jesus, was full of grace, and we see this in his life, in his ministry, as he walked about. And did good. He did what the Father told him to do. He did what he saw the Father wanted him to do. And I'm reminded of the woman taken in adultery, right in the act. Now, I think perhaps the Pharisees and Sadducees and all them other seers were kind of waiting for a particular opportunity, and they found it. And they knew this woman was an adulteress, and so they went and they waited for her to go to this individual, and they grabbed her, took her right out of it, and brought her before Jesus. Amen? And under the law, she was worthy of death. Under the law, she was to be taken outside and she was to be stoned to death. So they brought this woman to Jesus, expecting to be able to catch him, because now they felt they had him where they wanted him. And Jesus just, you know, they explained the situation and so forth. Jesus stoops down and he writes on the ground. The Scripture does not tell us what he wrote on the ground. I believe it was their sin. I believe as he knelt down, he went to this one because he was full of the Holy Ghost without measure. Amen? He was used in the revelation gifts. He walked in God. God wants you and I to walk in Christ as he is in God. And God reveals things. So I believe personally, Gospel according to Nurnberger, he knelt down in front of them and he wrote perhaps thief, adulterer, murderer. And when he lifted himself up, there was nobody there. And he asked the woman, where are your accusers? There's nobody here, Lord. He says, neither do I accuse you. Grace. Grace. She was worthy of death, but Jesus forgave her. Some of us, in the things we did before we came to Christ, were worthy of death. But God shed grace into our life. Jump up, if you will, to the book of Romans. Romans, the 5th chapter. It's a little bit more lengthy portion of Scripture I'm going to read. Again, from the Amplified Version, Romans, the 5th chapter. That's page 2,748. I got a big fat one today. Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as the result of sin, so death spread to all men, no one being able to stop it or to escape its power, because all men sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before ever the law was given, but sin is not charged to men's account where there is no law to transgress. Yet death held sway from Adam to Moses, the lawgiver, even over those who did not themselves transgress a positive command, as Adam did. Adam was a type, prefigure, of the one who was to come in reverse, the former destructive, the latter saving. But God's free gift is not at all to be compared to the trespass. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. For if many died through one man's falling away, his lapse, his offense, much more profusely did God's grace and the free gift that comes through the undeserved favor of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound and overflow to and for the benefit of many. Nor is the free gift at all to be compared to the effect of that one man's sin. For the sentence following the trespass of one man brought condemnation, whereas the free gift following many transgressions brings justification, an act of righteousness. For if, because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I want to stop just there, right there for just one moment. We are royalty. We need to get that from our mind into our heart and deep down into our spirit. That God has made us, because of our acceptance of Jesus Christ, another act of His graciousness, of His grace, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are an heir right now. We are a joint heir with Him. It is time that Christians took upon themselves the royalty that they have been given, but we don't take. Amen. Thank you, Sister Kathy. Amen. It's time we recognize the authority that we have in Christ Jesus and use it to further the gospel and God's kingdom, to change things in our lives and in your lives and in those out there that don't know Jesus Christ. We need to recognize that and lay hold on it. Part of the problem is we don't have any time. You see, whatever you want from Christ and whatever I want is going to involve something that I have to give back to Him, and it's called my life. Understand, for each and every one of us that named the name of Christ, your life is not your own. It belongs to the one that ransomed us. His name is Jesus. And He has the prerogative to do with us as he sees fit. But he still left us with our free will. And that's the crux of the matter. Do we yield our free will to him, allow him to mold us and make us into what he wants us to be? Or do we continue to exercise our free will and do what we want? I've come to a place, and I thank God for this, that I don't know what's on TV. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll have time for it. Time is short. I do watch the news once in a while. I used to watch the news by the hour. You watch CNN, then you go to Fox, and then you go to ABC, then you try CNN again, and you know, try and find out who's got the best deal going on. None of them. He does. If he doesn't want you somewhere, he'll tell you. If he does want you somewhere, he'll tell you. And he tells us not to be so concerned about what's happening. In a way, we need to keep abreast of what's happening, yes. But I'm looking for Jesus to break through the blue. Amen. I'm looking for Jesus to break through the blue. It's not far off. There's nothing left to transpire, I believe. The next great thing is the rapture of the church. Oh, but let me qualify that. That might be only the rapture of the bride. See, you got 10 virgins. All pure. All white. Only 5 were ready. Jesus himself said, "Blessed is he that looks and watches and so forth, that they might be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass." It's a whole bunch of Christians that aren't concerned about his coming. Continuing on. Well then, as one man's trespass, one man's false step and falling away led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and right standing with God and life for all men. For just as by one man's disobedience, failing to hear, heedlessness and carelessness, the many were constituted sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be constituted righteous, made acceptable to God, brought into right standing with him. But then law came in, only to expand and increase the trespass, making it more apparent and exciting opposition. But where sin increased and abounded, grace, God's unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased the more and superabounded. So that just as sin has reigned in death, so grace, his unearned and undeserved favor, might reign also through righteousness, right standing with God, which issues in eternal life through Jesus Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, our Lord. Praise God. Amen? Where sin did abound, grace will much more abound. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? So God has an abundant amount of grace for us, and we can see this every day. How many make mistakes today? All made mistakes, and it's not even noontime. Oh, what are we going to do? Well, you know, some churches, they say, get out. Ah, but if we did do a sin, which is not to be habit, amen, because sin will not have dominion over us when we've been born again, we might occasionally stumble, might occasionally slip and fall, however we might term it. But all we have to do is get to the altar, not necessarily the altar here. You don't want to wait for Sundays if it's Sunday night and you don't have a service. You don't want to wait till next Sunday because you might miss it. You get right on your knees, right where you are. Amen. You humble yourself, and I humble myself. Say, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have acted that way. Whatever it might be. And ask the Lord for his grace and his forgiveness. And he says, too late. You already had it once. No, thank you, Jesus, he does not do that. Amen? That we can come 100 times if necessary, 1,000 times if necessary, and he freely forgives us. That is his grace, his unmerited favor. So we should all be overflowing with the goodness of God in our life. Telling our neighbors, telling our co-workers, telling the beautician. You have the beautician or the barber at an advantage because he's a captive audience as he's doing something, unless he's using the straight razor. I just had to throw that out there because that does cause a little intimidation with some people. But then you have to look at it that if he's going to reject and slit your throat, it's promotion day. That's all it is promotion day. Because I know where I'm going, and hopefully you know where you're going. And it's up, not down. Teresa and I were in an elevator recently, and it's over taking Candace back to the college, and what an experience. I made the comment to one person, I'm glad this only happens twice a year, as frustration set in and so forth, and instead of two elevators, only one worked, and we got on to go up, and it went down, and somebody made some comment about going to hell, and then instead, when it started coming up, well, guess we're going to heaven. And people just looked around, and I said, I'm glad I know where my last trip is. How about yours? Amen? I mean, oh, hey, you've got to use opportunities. Amen? You've got to use every opportunity available. But in witnessing to neighbor, I've got to throw this out, qualify this. In witnessing to your neighbor and so forth, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. A lot of damage has been done in the name of Christ by people going when they're not led by the Holy Spirit. Because everybody is not being called by God at any one particular time. It says the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and so forth, draw us to Him is when we're receptive. So sometimes, you know, you can be sharing the gospel with somebody that wants no part of it. If God leads us, He's going to open the door. And God will sow the seed through us. And somebody will water it. Or maybe we're the one watering it. Amen? Or maybe we're the one to lead them to the gospel, lead them to Christ, because somebody has already sowed and watered. And so we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Those who accept Christ, which I believe is everybody here, receive free pardon of all offenses, and grace abounds to us. God's grace was manifested when we accepted Christ, but that was only the beginning. His grace goes on day by day, moment by moment. All the time, as we're a Christian. His grace is there. It's there in our heartaches. It's there when we need finances. It's there when we have sorrow. His grace is there. What we have to do is be in that place to accept it, to recognize it, to even receive it. You know, you and I can frustrate the grace of God. Paul wrote about that. We can frustrate the grace of God. He warned the church to not receive the grace of God in vain. The whole lot. Grace goes both ways. If you would, jump up to Titus. Little epistle that Paul wrote, but it contains a whole lot. Titus, the second chapter. Verse 11 in the second chapter. For the grace of God, His unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward, appeared for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It has appeared, it was manifested in Christ for our salvation. But continuing on, it has trained us. This is what God's grace does. It has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world, awaiting and looking for the fulfillment, the realization of our blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who gave Himself on our behalf that He might redeem us, purchase our freedom from all iniquity, and purify for Himself a people to be peculiarly His own, people who are eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. Time to be good Samaritans. Grace teaches us that. Salvation is the beginning of it. One thing that grace does, according to Paul's writing there to Titus, is it teaches us that we are to be looking for His glorious appearing. Oh my. I find many, many Christians that are not interested in His glorious appearing. Something is wrong with their spirituality. Because if you are born again, you have forsaken your sins, things change. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For many people, Jesus is their Savior, and that's as far as it goes. He has not become their Lord because they have chosen not to allow Him to become their Lord. For those individuals, I think, though they might put on a Christianity when they come to church, whenever that might be,